Once again, Skype has failed us all. This is just not our freaking night.
This is the Citadel Cafe.
This is the Citadel Cafe, episode number 53, recorded live Wednesday, February 13th, 2013. I am Joel Duggan of StarCrossOnline.com, and to my right, returning triumphantly, is Mr. Peyton Francis of CardboardTreehouse.com. Peyton, how are you doing this evening, sir?
I'm all right. It's good to be back. I've missed you guys.
Aw.
Yeah.
Well, as I mentioned last week, Chad is going to be taking a leave of absence from the show as he pays some much needed time into the daddy category. I was having this funny little tweet conversation with him the other day, and he was like, you know, who knew that kids were so much work? And I was like, oh, I think I know someone that does.
Anyone who has a kid, I would think.
Yeah, I would think so. But filling in for Chad, or filling in, I guess, the third chair, because we're not going to call it Chad's chair every time now. But there is an open invite to anybody interested in being on the Citadel Cafe. And this week, speaking of long time no see, Brian Provo is back. Brian.
Guys, how are you?
Very well. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Hey, no problem, man. Always happy to have you back. And there was lots of times where I was thinking, I should have Brian on. And I couldn't get you on the show because you moved.
Yeah, it's been pretty crazy. Back in, I want to say December-ish. No, actually November. My girlfriend and I ended up selling the condo we were living in, moved up to her mom's house in Vermont for about 3 weeks. And then we're able to close on the house that we are currently living in now. So we have a house that we purchased with her son and his girlfriend, and it's awesome. It's a sweet, sweet setup. We spend all our time together before we even live together, so it just made sense that, you know, we get this awesome house and get to see more of each other every day. So it's great.
That's awesome, man. Congrats. Are you liking the space? Because did you have a large condo, if you mind me asking?
No, I don't mind. I don't mind at all. The condo was two floors. It was good size. You know, there was plenty of space for Deb and I, but, you know, it was getting to the point where we got a dog. We outgrew it at that point, and it just, we really wanted to be able to get back to that way of life of having a family, you know, sitting down, eating dinner together, getting up in the morning, having breakfast together, you know, that sort of thing. And it just, this perfect house fell into our lap and we jumped at it.
Nice.
So we've got plenty of space. There's three floors, and currently my office area is in the home theater of the house. So I've got the projection screen behind me and, you know, the nice leather couch and everything. It's definitely the man cave.
Nice.
Called it recently. So yeah, it's a good setup. It's a good setup. Everybody has their own space, but we also have a nice community area on the main floor and can have plenty of guests over and plenty of friends and family over to enjoy it with us whenever we choose to. So
nice.
That's
the complaint that Jocelyn and I have about our place. We do have our own space. We do have our own offices / you know, my studio, her podcasting studio, game room, that kind of thing. But we do not have a lot of space for guests. We can have another couple over for dinner. Sure. We can have maybe two couples over for board games. But beyond that, we really start to get tight on space. So it's the only thing that we really complain about in terms of the size of the apartment. It's just that we can't entertain as much as we'd like to.
Yeah, and you know, that's what this house was built around, was entertaining, you know. So it's cool because Deb and I can have our friends over, and if we want to come downstairs and play board games or whatever, we can do that, or we can go, you know, outside and spend time out there. I mean, there's plenty of room for everybody and then some. So it's quite the blessing to be in this house. So pretty happy.
Cool. Well, speaking of houses, I need to ask you, are you going to be going back to Nerdtacular this year? And if so, is the Nerd House going to be around?
You know, I am up in the air, unfortunately, for Nerdtacular. I'm hoping to be out there. I haven't heard much talk about the Nerd House, mainly because the deal that Scott got with the resort that's hosting Nerdtacular 13, the deal was so cheap for the rooms. I think it's $89 a night. So the majority of the people that were in Nerd House last year are jumping towards that. I don't know if there's been any talk of another house being rented. If there is, I would certainly be interested in it, though.
Yeah, we know we're going, and we're trying to sort out the plans to do that. But we were, I think, focusing on the main resort because that is maybe $10 more a night than what we paid last year at the hotel that we were staying at. And the hotel was fine. There was nothing wrong with the hotel. But this place looks way nicer. In terms of like space and to be like there with the community and to, I think it would be, it's almost like those first years on campus, you know, like when you go to the, when you go to university, or college in the States and you don't want to miss that one zoo year of living in a dorm, you know,
exactly.
I mean, second year, sure. Move off with your buddies or your friends and have a quiet place to study, whatever. But that first year to be part of the community and really have the experience, I feel like the dorm is where it has to happen. And I feel like as much as I think the Nerd House might be something for Jocelyn and I later on, it's right now we're still sort of new in our first couple of years with Frog Pants. So it's nice to be kind of part of the big user experience.
Yeah, and we kind of did it backwards. I mean, we didn't do the, you know, the dorm room experience this past year at Nerdtacular 12. We did the full out, hey, we got a house and we're going to invite as many people over that want to come and have a good time. And it worked out great. I mean, we all, you know, we all knew each other well in advance. Myself and Trisha and Bill Duran and Nick Nizzi and all these guys that we've spent so much time with over the last, you know, year and a half, just we're totally comfortable going in there and living together for, you know, the 4 or 5 days that we were there. But we missed out on a lot of the community stuff that was going on outside of the area we were in. You know, it was great hanging out with everybody there and we all had great fun together, but it will be even better if we can take that atmosphere and move it back to, you know, the dorm atmosphere, like you said, at Nerdtacular 13.
Cool. Well, if anybody out there happens to be new to the show, we don't normally talk about Nerdtacular. What we normally talk about is sci-fi, fantasy, entertainment, geeky books we've been reading, websites, kind of some internet picks here and there. And I have a geeky moment to share from earlier this last week, actually. And that is, I got to interview Dave Kellett last week on Comics Coast to Coast. It was a real highlight for me because I have been following Dave's career since I was aware of him as a cartoonist online. And he was one of the authors of How to Make Web Comics. He's been doing Sheldon for like 15 years almost, as well as he now has a second comic drive. So it was a real treat to sit down with Matthew Ducharme and Brian Dunaway on Comics Coast to Coast and chat with Dave. And Dave, in some of the interviews that I've heard him on, can get, you know, he's pretty silly. He's got a really good sense of humor, like, you know, most cartoonists you would think. But he got quite serious on the show because of some of the questions that we were putting to him. And it was a really nice window into Dave as a creator and sort of the whole experience. So I completely nerded out and got to interview Dave. And it was kind of like the highlight of my professional year so far was sitting down with Dave Kellett. So I just wanted to share that kind of moment with everybody.
That's sweet, man.
Yeah. So I mean, comicscoasttocoast.com for anybody that's interested, you can find the iTunes link and the stuff there. But it was a really, really fun show. Brian, do you listen to Comics Coast to Coast at all? I know you listen to a lot of Frog Pants shows.
Yep, I do listen to it off and on. My time of listening to podcasts right now has been minimized due to work just being crazy. But on a quick side note, that's finally coming to an end, so I'll be able to jump back in, which is one of the reasons I'm here tonight, is to get back into the swing of podcasting.
Cool. Well, you've obviously got your recording set up.
I set it up about 45 minutes before the show. So
right on. Well, I I'm going to throw it to Peyton to see what he's been up to this week.
There we go.
Hey, Peyton is back.
I have no idea what happened there. I was actually in a mid-sentence and I dropped out.
No, you know, it's all right. The Skype updated last week or the week before, and most podcasters I know have been having issues with the dust settling, as it were. And I could see you, and I could try to add you, but I wasn't able to get you back. But in the essence of time, I will simply re-ask you the question that I did before we were hoping when you were back, and that is, what have you been up to the last week as far as just kind of general catching up goes? I see that you have some unfortunate news about your driveway.
Yeah, winter's come. Winter's here. You know, we always hear winter's coming, but it's actually here now, and my driveway takes about 2.5 hours to do, and now with all the rain and sleet and stuff, it's doing a little number on my back, which is fun. So,
always, good news from the Francis household.
Always good news around here. Yeah, yeah. Well, I won't even get to the big property that's being developed up the hill that's spewing water all over the street and causing accidents and all that fun stuff.
Oh, right? Man, look, there was pictures. I mean, not to get into too much weather here, folks, but we had a lot of rain and snow in Halifax in the last 4 or 5 days. And the tweets and the pictures that were being thrown around yesterday online of rivers, like 6 inches of water curb to curb, you know, on main streets in downtown Halifax. It's just insane. Like, you know, where were the snow removal crews? Where were the salt and the sand trucks? I mean, people walking to work were having trouble.
Yeah, well, it's just, I think it's a matter of, you know, deferred maintenance and just, you know, decreased budgets from the past couple of years of no snow, right?
Yeah, probably.
And, you know,
which is silly.
But I love winter. It's my favorite season, you know. My son comes out and gives me a hand in the driveway and stuff like that, which is a hoot. He's trying to, I help you, Daddy, I help you. And then he's pushing on the shovel and he's like, you help me now because you can't do it, right? So, but that monstrous ice chipper my brother-in-law gave me is working wonders. So it's
wonderful. Good. Good. Yeah. That'll probably take a lot of the strain off the back, I guess.
You know,
Brian, I know that you're in New England. Did you guys get a lot of snow?
We've got 22 to 24 inches of snow sitting on the ground from this past Saturday when the blizzard went through. We had a nor'easter just absolutely hammer us between Friday and Saturday. So I feel your pain with the driveway. Our town actually came by with bulldozers Saturday night, picked up 2 scoops full of snow and dropped them dead center at the top of our driveway because they didn't know where the driveway started. But thankfully, our neighbor came in and unburied us the next day. So,
wow.
Yeah, it was pretty hairy. Yeah, it was crazy. Joel, I'll send you a picture on Twitter later tonight of my car. And just completely covered and show you how much snow we actually got. It was insane.
Yeah, what happened with us, we ended up with the same weather just 24 to 36 hours later.
Right.
But then the jet stream also came down from Ontario and Quebec and slammed us with another system at the same time. And being so far out of the ocean here in Nova Scotia, like about 24 hours, 48 hours after all the snow, it started to rain and like quite a bit of rain.
Yeah.
So everything underneath was all icy and slushy, and then everything on top was really heavy. Like clearing off my car was like shoveling a driveway. Like it was that heavy to push the snow off the car. So
that's the worst. That was the first storm we had this year.
It is the first real big snowfall, isn't it?
Yeah, it was huge. It was just absolutely huge.
It's like Warner Brothers snow, you know, just everything kind of comes down and big boom. Boom.
Exactly. Yeah. With an Acme stamp in the snow.
Yeah. Well, with all this horrible, horrible weather, Jocelyn and I have been inside quite a bit. And I have been taking some time to catch up on, you know, some TV shows and stuff like that. We have not been watching a whole lot of television, though. What we've been doing is trying to consume some alternate stuff. So YouTube, Vimeo, that kind of thing, both of which are accessible on the Apple TV. So it's really easy to kind of couch surf. And the great thing now is that 3 or 4 weeks ago, the Apple TV had an update, and now you can use a Bluetooth wireless keyboard with Apple TV, which I happen to have two in the house just because I think Jocelyn actually gave me one for my birthday last year. And then I had another one here that's, you know, hooked up with my Mac and stuff. So there's now one that just kind of lingers in the living room, and the other one is in my studio. So the one in the living room, all you have to do is turn on the keyboard. And once you've already synced it, the Apple TV will remember just like a computer does. And it is so much easier to navigate and type for searching and stuff in YouTube. So we've been watching like a lot of StarCraft matches, a lot of video game stuff because Jocelyn's been learning how to play StarCraft. But our friend Bill Duran of Punished Props has been posting really consistently on his Punished Props YouTube channel. And Bill, for anybody that doesn't know Bill, is a he's a prop maker for cosplay. So for like anime cons and comic con stuff and costume contests, he builds his own replicas for fun and sells them, but also takes commissions from people who are trying to get like that perfect costume for Dragon Con or San Diego Comic Con or whatever. And he does these how-to behind the scenes videos where he's talking about, you know, the plastic and the epoxy and the vacuum sealing. And he is doing all of this super cool stuff, which I want to say on the surface is simple. I know it's not. He just makes it look simple. But he does a really good job of editing the videos. They're about 5 to 7 minutes in length. They're very digestible. And he makes some really, really cool stuff. Peyton, you would probably be interested because of just the whole model building aspect of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, anybody that's a nerd is interested in the fact that his big project right now is that he has been licensed or is working on an officially licensed Kerrigan's Ghost Rifle replica from StarCraft, sanctioned by Blizzard and in conjunction with Doghouse Systems, which is going to be a giveaway for the launch of Heart of the Swarm, which is the second installment of StarCraft, which is coming out in March. So Bill is working on this thing. He's updating people regularly with photos and stuff like that. Right now, the videos are about a mace and shield set that he's working on or has worked on. But the StarCraft videos, I'm sure, are coming fast and furious. But the cool thing also is that Jocelyn is going to be interviewing Bill on March 1st on the Gamers Inn on Amove TV. So stay tuned for that. You get even more insight into what, you know, Bill is doing behind the scenes. And that, like that kind of encompasses how I've been spending the last kind of week and a half. Is it's all been just YouTube and Vimeo stuff. Have you guys checked out any of the like the channels or the programs on YouTube yet?
Not YouTube. I've gone to Vimeo a couple of times. I check out their animation section there, but I just generally search for kids programs on YouTube, and you can find some lots of great stuff there on that. So
right on.
Yeah, I pretty much use YouTube for bad lip reading because I love that stuff, and movie trailers. That's really where I'm hooked. But now I've been finding I've got my Mac Mini set up as a Plex server. I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with Plex, but it's a media server, and it's all free. You just install it, and then you can stream to any device in your house,
whether
it's an iPad, an iPhone, an Android-based phone, PlayStation, all that kind of stuff. So I've been messing around with that and adding new channels to it, and I just added the YouTube channel recently. So I'm actually using that much more than I had in the past and finding a lot of funny stuff.
Cool. So wait a minute. So Plex, is it hardware?
No, Plex is software. It's a software media server. If you go to plexapp.com, just to give them a free plug, you can download the software, the media software for your operating system, install it, configure it. They have a forum. It's really straightforward and easy to do. Right now, I'm able to stream all of my iTunes library, as well as any of my Blu-ray movies that I have saved digitally to any device in my house.
Wow. So does it require any kind of special formatting of the files?
No, I mean, I save the Blu-rays as MKVs. They're large files. They're about 32 gig a piece.
Whoa.
They're pretty honking, but it's full HD quality. So it's 1080p. It's 5.1, or if the Blu-ray has it, 7.1 surround sound. Scales it down when you stream it to an iPhone or a smaller device. It hangs up a little bit when you try to stream to a PS3. That's because it's trying to do a conversion from MKV to, I think it's DLNA file whatever DLNA file format PS3 is currently programmed to use. So you get a little hiccup there, but still working on a fix for that. But it also streams to Roku Box. I think it streams to Apple TV as well. It's pretty sweet.
Nice, because that would be my big question. Because I've been wanting to do more streaming. There are a couple of shows I cannot access, and I do download just to stay current, rather than waiting for them on DVD. So especially because a lot of them don't if they're digitally available, they're on Hulu or something like that, and we can't get it in Canada. I still take the MacBook out and attach it to my Sony big screen. And watch videos that way. And I've been wanting to just kind of leave the leave iTunes open, leave the external going, and just kind of use not AirPlay, but access the computer and play the movies that way in the iTunes library. The issue, of course, being that I'd have to take the time to convert any file that I managed to get to the proper format for iTunes. So it's just that one pain in the ass step, which is silly because, again, I'm downloading this stuff that I haven't taken. So I'm looking for a solution. I wonder if Flex app might be the way.
Yeah, it's plexapp.com is the website, PLEXAPP.
I said Flex, didn't I?
Oh, that's okay. And there are some tutorials on how to install the plugin on your Apple TV. You'll have to see if it's going to require a jailbreak on the Apple TV. I'm not sure if it will or not.
It probably will. But
that would be stupid if it did.
Yeah, that would be a deal breaker for me. I mean, I'm techie, but I'm also happy living in the Apple ecosystem for now, so I don't want to mess with old jailbreaking. If I had a spare Apple TV, I would love to mess around with it. I'm geeky enough to do that, but where this is my one Apple TV and something that we both, Joss and I, use on a regular basis, I don't want to mess around with it.
Yeah, I don't blame you there. I mean, if you really wanted to, you could always buy the $79 Roku box and plug that in, and that'll work with Plex no problem.
Yeah.
The Apple TV is the only thing that I've seen that you actually have to jailbreak to use the Plex software. Mm. Everything else is legitimate install. Even the PS3, it's just, setting up the file server, setting up the media server, I should say. Mm. And then you just go to your XBMC menu and boom, it's right there.
We have an Xbox in the living room. Would that make a difference?
Yeah, that would totally work.
Oh, sweet. Oh, good.
Yep.
Ha ha.
Yep.
Winning.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nice.
So. Yeah, it's a pretty sweet deal.
So what what have you been watching on your Plex?
On my Plex.
In general?
On the Plex specifically, I've got the new Spider-Man loaded on there. We watched that recently.
I'm sorry.
I liked it, actually.
Oh.
I was pretty happy with it.
I thought it was all right.
Yeah, I thought it was better than the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man.
Yeah, no Saturday Night Fever.
Now I'm stuck on the podcast with you guys for the next 25 or 30 minutes.
Yeah. Hey, buddy.
Amazing
hey,
Spider-Man lovers.
You invited me on, my friend.
So. I don't know. I you're both dead to me now. So welcome to the solo TCC for this week. I agree. I don't like the Tobey Maguire where it ended up. I still like Spider-Man 2. I still think that is a good film. I mean, for when it came out. I agree with you that The Amazing Spider-Man was better than Spider-Man 3.
Oh, yes.
That piece of turd was not worth throwing at the screen. So there is that. I think maybe it's more the fact that I didn't need a Spider-Man reboot. It was just kind of oh, wait, is this where he gets bit by the spider? Oh, cool. We have to watch this guy deal with getting powers all over again.
Right.
I kind of thought it was a little bit harsh.
Well, it seems to be the era that we live in now is the era of the reboot. We're going to take every movie, whether it was good or bad, and no matter what decade it was from, and we're going to remake it from scratch. Here
Hansel
you go.
And Gretel.
Yeah,
exactly.
Either because they want to or because they have to, like Sony does, in order to maintain the rights.
Well, yes, I was just thinking that, Peyton. That's a really good point. Yeah. Spider-Man 3. Yeah. See, I'm still hung up on that. Peyton, dig us out. What have you been watching?
Spider-Man 3.
Really?
No.
God, don't do that to me, man.
No, I I found this thing on TV one day. I was just flicking the channels, and it is Transformers Rescue Bots.
Okay.
And essentially, it is in the same, remember the old Chaotic TV show with the Flash animation?
Yes.
Yeah, it's the same sort of style and level of animation as that thereabouts. It feels like the show is about 5 years too late, and it's very flashy, and it's like, why are you doing Transformers and Flash? It's, I don't know.
I'm watching the trailer right now. It doesn't feel right.
Yeah, it doesn't. And really some of the design's a little inconsistent, and it's just not my bag. Although I guess it's the message behind it's probably very kid friendly, you know, helping your community.
Yeah.
It's four Transformers, each one is partnering with a human who's supposed to be the driver for the public's point of view and all that stuff.
Right. It reminds me of the Avengers cartoon. Or Batman Brave and the Bold. Yeah. You know, there's been this push for classic kind of, not, well, I guess classic, sure, you know, classic 80s or superhero comics.
Turned into
Saturday morning cartoon, but then skewed younger, like not 6 to 12, like it's 4 to 6. Yeah. It's really, really young stuff. And maybe it's just because I'm too old for it, but I don't like, you know, the bop, pang, pow Batman. With the one-liners and the Robin jokes, like I really kind of like my Nolan Batman where it is, or my Dark Knight, you know, comics, and just kind of like leave it at that. He's supposed to be badass, you know. Even DC did a good job with, Warner Brothers did a good job with, you know, the Batman animated series where it still stayed pretty dark. You know, there was still some brooding. It was meant for an older audience, a teen audience. But yeah, those are some interesting designs. For anybody, of course, listening, we'll have the link in show notes and stuff, at a later time for your perusement. But what was the name of it again? Rescue Bots?
Yeah. Transformers Rescue Bots. Rescue Bots. Yeah.
Well, speaking of Transformers, I'm not going to speak at length at this because I just started watching and I didn't even finish the first episode. But this came highly recommended from some geeks that I respect online, and I'm watching Transformers Prime. It's on Netflix, in Canada anyway. I'm sure it's in the States. The series is a couple years old, 2010. It's got some really good voice acting. Peter Cullen and I think Frank Walker are both back as Megatron and Prime. And it's 3D. The robot designs are cool. The animation is 3D for TV. Like, it's not overly fancy. They have also decided not to call attention to the fact that they're trying to be overly fancy. So, it works in many cases. There's a lot of things that I'm catching right now that I'm not liking about it. There's a lot of things that I do like about it. So for future reference, if you want to jump into Transformers Prime, I will be probably speaking about it on the show in another week or two once I have a couple more episodes under my belt. Because I'm still on the pilot, and I'm sure that if it caught on and it got more budget, it probably looks a little bit. A little bit better.
I was trying to interject into the whole Transformers thing that Peyton brought up because to me it looks like Bob the Builder met the Transformers.
Yeah.
And I was trying to like get that in there, and then I'm like, guys, Bob the Builder. Bob the Builder.
No.
Bob the Builder. And nothing. I'm like, aw.
Well, it's in the show now.
Yeah. It's in the show.
Can we transform? Yes, we can.
Transformers Prime. Have you seen it, Brian?
We lost them again.
Fuck off. For anybody listening live, this is how the sausage is made. Oh, man. Too funny. Well, at this point now, I'm not even going to bother to try and edit too much to make it seamless. I'm probably going to put a giant siren in there every time Skype crashes.
That's a really good idea.
Yeah, I'm just going to make it giant and annoying and... Not annoying, but I'm going to make it really obvious that Skype was treating us like, you know, crap.